Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
If you're going to sleep in the same room with me, down the back of my throat, I know what I'm doing. It's not my first rodeo. What the hell does that mean, by the way?
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh boy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. You clicked on it properly. You got it. I never thought that my career would end up being clicked on. I mean, I spent most of my career like being listened to on a radio. Now I'm being clicked on. I mean, we're still on some radio stations, but who cares? No one listens to that crap anymore. It's the clicking that we do. It's the streaming and the clicking. The streaming and the clicking. I don't know. I've been reduced to rubble. I really have. So have you, by the way. I very proudly am standing up right now, and I am upright, and I'm telling you, I'm like a vacuum cleaner. I am upright right now with no attachments. I am telling you that I am very proud of myself. I feel like getting myself a cake because I now have not been on Facebook at all for 9 months, the length of a full-term pregnancy. I have not engaged in anything on Facebook. I have not said hello, listened to, or communicated with any of my Facebook, air quote, friends. I don't know if they're still there or not. I have a feeling they are, just aimlessly being knocked around the cloud. I have no idea what I'm talking about, by the way. But I am so freaking proud of myself. In your face, Facebook, in your Facebook, God, and I don't miss them at all. I don't miss any of my Facebook friends, whoever they are. Pedro Gonzalez from New Mexico, I don't know who the hell you are. Apparently we're friends. I know when your birthday is, but I know nothing else about you at all. I know the intimate details about you and your birthday. Happy birthday, by the way. I don't know who the hell you are. I'm attending a birthday party with someone I've never met. And I don't know how. I think the only reason we're friends is because you're probably a friend of a friend of a friend or of a friend of a friend of a friend who is somewhat a friend on my Facebook page. I think that's how that works. It's like a fucked up ancestry.com where the family tree is just like growing all over the place and needs to be pruned or cut down. Facebook is just out of control. Facebook now wants to start its own currency. Did you read about that? They had a name for it. I don't remember the name. I don't care. That's not the point. Facebook is starting its own currency, and a lot of people are saying, currency? Oh my God. Like, you starting your own country now with your own currency? What the hell are you talking about, man? Why don't you use the currency that we use here? I don't get it. I don't get it. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. And I hope that you are indeed a participant only in listening. It's about all I can tolerate right now at this juncture in my life. Is life getting harder or easier? I'm not sure. I think it's kind of the same. I gauge that every once in a while. When people come up to me and say, Ron, how you doing? I take that philosophically. I don't just blindly say, good, everything's fine. I don't. I delve deep into my soul very, very quickly when you ask me that question, and I will give you an honest answer. I will. Most people will say, well, I'm still alive. Well, I'm still breathing. Well, I'm on the right side of the daisies. I don't know what that means. Well, I kind of do, but it's stupid. Yeah, they'll make a little joke about it. It's not funny. It's not funny at all. Someone asked me how I'm doing. You're going to get a full medical report. I'll send it to you in the mail. I need your address. Yeah, you asked me that question. I will tell you. Do you have a minute? Sit down for 3 hours. Let me tell you about things that are going on in my life. Don't you dare ask me that Pandora's box of questions. You're going to get an earful from me. That's why I never ask anybody how they're doing. I don't do it. I don't ask them because I'm not in the mood to hear it. It's a rhetorical question. You're not supposed to answer it. Hey, how you doing? So anyway, you don't expect an answer. But I actually give one. I actually go into a dossier. I have actually a PowerPoint presentation that I do about how I'm doing. Well, let me show you some pictures from last week. Here I am walking down the street and falling on pavement. How about that? Here's a bill that I received in the mail that I can't afford to pay. How about that? Look, it's on the screen right now. That's the bill. That's the bill right there on the screen that I can't afford to pay. That's how I'm doing. That's how I'm doing. Financially in ruins. How are you doing? Oh, sorry. Don't want to ask you that because I don't care. Who care? Who cares? When you ask somebody how they're doing, who cares? Who cares? Why even give them space to respond? Just keep on talking. I'm a social misfit, man. I think I'm from another planet because no one taught me how to get along with people. No one ever sat me down and said, Ron, we want to explain. This is how you interact with other human beings. It was never in a classroom. Teacher never discussed that part. I could do like math and stuff like that. I had to take geometry twice. First time, I didn't even understand what geometry meant. Some guy was drawing shapes on a blackboard and then examining the shapes. And I said, excuse me, do you even have a life? So I didn't pay attention at all. I failed geometry the first time around. I couldn't understand the concept. Why are we spending so much time talking about squares and triangles and trying to figure out like the angles of them? Why are you wasting my time? Let's break for lunch. The second time around, I guess osmosisly, that's not a word, by the way, I actually learned something and I passed geometry, and that's, I guess, my life's goal. Yeah. Now, when someone says to me, Ron, have you seen my isosceles triangle anywhere? I seem to have misplaced it. I say, yeah, I know what one looks like, and it's over there. It's on the couch. Yeah. So anyway, no one ever taught me how to get along with people. They never did. I get along with animals really well. I think we communicate. When I pet an animal, I know exactly what their hot spots are, you know, what their G-spots. Is that proper, Rana? So the bottom line is I'm ill-equipped. This is going to sound weird, but it's true. I just, things pop into my head and you're the recipient. Mortadella. Do you know what mortadella is? I thought it was a village in Spain, but it's not. It's Italian. It's mortadella. It's a large Italian sausage or a luncheon meat made of finely hashed or ground heat-cured pork, which incorporates at least 15% small cubes of pork fat. Principally hard fat from the back of the neck of a pig. Mortadella is a product of Bologna, Italy. Okay, because I was in the supermarket yesterday and I'm picking up some low-sodium ham. I don't eat regular ham. I eat low-sodium ham because I'm trying to stay alive for just a little bit longer. And I see in the deli case there, the mortadella, which looked like, to me, bologna with cubes of fat in it. And I said to myself, who would eat this stuff? And why would they eat this stuff? And why is it sitting in a deli case for human consumption? I think probably one of the worst luncheon meats in the world is bologna or bologna. That they just spell it all weird. I mean, it's an actual Italian place, but it also something that you eat that will kill you eventually. So I don't understand it. Bologna, bologna is just a bunch of meat, pig meat, that has been shaped into a round loaf. It's riddled with grease and fat and horrible things, but it is so damn tasty, which proves the point that everything that tastes really, really good is really, really bad for you. It's somehow how the universe was formed. Then someone took it a step further and said, bologna is definitely going to kill people nationwide and internationally. How can we make it so that bologna is even more deadly than it's designed to be? And somebody probably raised their hand in Italy and said, let's put cubes of pork fat riddled throughout the bologna in large chunks that you can actually see. Now, some people will think it's cheese, but it's not. It's pork fat. Oh, okay, that's disgusting. Let's make it even more disgusting, okay? Okay, how are we going to do that? Let's take the fat that we're going to put in chunks in the loaf. Let's take that fat from the back of the neck of the pig. What a wonderful idea. Yeah, that way, what could be fattier than the back of the neck? And then we're going to put the chunks in the bologna prominently so that when you slice it, those chunks still remain in the slice. Wow, man, that'll kill them, right? You would think so. But people are still walking around who eat mortadella. And they're usually Italian people who think, well, I'm going to eat genuine mortadella. What are you, crazy? What are you nuts? What possibly could be your reason for eating this stuff? I mean, mortadella, morta. Look up morta online or in a dictionary, if anyone still has a dictionary. Morta is the queen of death. It's true. Look it up. Morta means the queen of death. This luncheon meat starts with queen of death. Morta della. I mean, seriously, what more evidence do you need that this is a deadly lunch meat? Is life that bad and it's just not worth living and you don't have the balls to shoot yourself in the head or hang yourself from a chandelier? So you figure, no, I'll go to the supermarket and kill myself there. I'll just order mortadella. Every time someone goes into a delicatessen or supermarket and asks the deli counter person for like half a pound of mortadella, there should be some type of a suicide counselor standing there. Say, okay, Bob, he just asked for mortadella. Hurry, hurry, hurry. He's over there. Talk to him quick before he kills himself. There should be some type of grief counselor there. I'm telling you, man, anytime you see somebody walking around with mortadella, you've got to intervene. You've got to call their friends up, get them into an intervention, and stop this person on this deadly race toward the end of time. It's true. Mortadella. And yet nobody talks about it. I'm the only one that has the balls to talk about mortadella. Nobody talks about this. They talk about all these kinds of pills and horrible things that are killing us and, you know, these carcinogenics and things like that. Nobody talks about mortadella. They talk about the Roundup weed killer, you know, that can cause an asbestos into your lungs and that's it, you know, you're done. But nobody has the balls to talk about mortadella openly being displayed and sold in supermarkets, ladies and gentlemen. Mortadella should be sold in little seedy corner shops in the basement behind where they have the cockfights. Mortadella, who eats that? Come over here, I know where you can get some. Really, man? Come on. Who in their right mind would actually search out bologna riddled with large chunks of back of the neck pig fat? Who would do something like that? There are children roaming the earth. How dare you do that in front of them? What a horrible, horrible sexual act of consuming bologna. It's awful. Bologna in itself actually has a word that connotates to it. Connotates. I'm not sure about that one. Bologna is horrible. It's greasy death fat. And then we actually did an offshoot of bologna, and we use it to describe someone who's full of crap, which is, I guess, what bologna is. Yeah, I went to bed last night with this woman, and she couldn't keep her hands off me. Oh, that's bologna. Oh, no, it was a woman. It was a woman. No, that's bologna. Oh, okay. I got that wrong. Bologna means you're giving me a load of crap there. And that's exactly what bologna is, a load of crap. And then the mortadella is one step closer to even more crap. Let me ask you a question right now. Have you ever, ever clicked on something and heard a diatribe about mortadella and bologna for over 10 minutes? Has that ever happened to you? I guarantee you it has not and will not happen again unless you choose to hear this show over again as a review.
I was listening to this show yesterday. They talked about mortadella for 10 minutes and its disgusting fat properties.
That's baloney. Nobody would do that. That's not a radio show. That's baloney.
That's exactly what happened.
This is why I don't get along with people. I think I make my case accordingly.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
We did this a couple of days ago. Kip Starchild is I don't know if he's a medium or a large. I think he's a large. Kip does the horoscopes, and he read our charts 3 or 4 days ago, and we had an overwhelming response of people that said that was interesting. So we thought we'd call upon Kip to read our charts for today, because every day it's different, you know, depending on the stars and how they're aligned and how much mortadella you've eaten and all that kind of stuff. So Kip standing by. Kip, what's the horoscope for today, Kip?
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in mind for you. Aquarius, take a chance on doing something that might leave a mark or a scar. Pisces, your lucky number is 781.57, but don't be off by so much as a decimal, or it means certain death. Aries, dance like no one is watching, because in your case, no one is. You're all alone in this world. Embrace that. Taurus, I have 3 words for you. Lubricants, lubricants, lubricants. Gemini, get ready for a big surprise courtesy of a shellfish allergy you didn't know you had. Cancer, now is a great time to buy that samurai sword you've been thinking about. The ninjas are closing in. Leo, hi Leo, how are you? Virgo, order the creme brulee, then leave without paying. This will lead to true love and a criminal record. Libra, lucky you. The stars are aligning. Good fortune and prosperity are coming your way, and happiness... Oh, wait, sorry, I skipped ahead. That's for Scorpio. Libra, make peace with your gods, for your time of reckoning is at hand. Sagittarius, remember that life is a marathon, not a sprint. But in your case, it might not hurt to step up the pace a little. The clock is running. And Capricorn, leave it alone. Stop picking at it, or it won't heal. Try some coconut oil. And that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
That was interesting, Kip. Our guest joins us right after this.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. That's not true. That's a lie. It's baloney.
Hi,
Dana. How are you?
I'm great today. How are you?
I am even better than that. Now your turn. Okay. We're both good. Dana.
So glad to hear it.
Yes. This is the North American veterinary community is talking about today, the cutting edge of veterinary advances. And my God, you're a doctor of veterinary medicine, vice president of veterinary education, North American veterinary community, do a lot of things. We talk about human advances all the time through interviews that we do here on the show, but we don't really talk about our pets as far as advances there are concerned. Are they the same as medical advances for humans?
They're very much paralleling each other, absolutely. We're even using some of the upcoming human devices are being adapted to cats and dogs almost as fast as they're coming into the human medical world. So, you know, everything's happening almost at the same time. It's actually quite surprising these days.
And it's not just for cats and dogs, as most of us, that's the pets that we deal with, but we're talking about the whole stream of animal doctorship. I know that's
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we always joke as veterinarians that we're responsible for everything but humans. We'll leave that to our physician counterparts. But dogs, cats, rabbits, animals in our food supply, like dairy and beef cattle, goats, sheep, the whole nine yards.
All right. This is off the mark, but here I go.
Okay.
When I take my dog to the veterinarian, I often think that I wish that veterinarian was my doctor. I mean it. I'm serious because...
That's the thing I hear a lot, actually.
They seem to have compassion that doesn't come close to human medical doctors. I don't want to put medical doctors down on the human side, but the compassion of veterinarians is incredible.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I often say that the whole profession really seems to select for individuals who have a really high rate of empathy, who really want to improve the quality of lives for animals that can't speak for themselves. So it does seem to be a really common aspect of being a veterinarian, a common component, part of our personality.
I have noticed a shift in that attitude as far as preventive care. I know that my human doctor, I have to refer to this as a human doctor now to differentiate, my human doctor is very big on prevention of things, so it's all prevention, prevention, prevention. And now, and of course, there was the flea and tick thing with veterinarians, but now they seem to be getting into more of a prevention of all possible illnesses and pet care. That seems to be a little shift there.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the things that has really changed in the last 10, 15 years is our ability to detect disease earlier. Mm-hmm. So things like blood tests have improved, turnover time, tests for specific diseases, and now even more advancements in things like x-rays becoming digital, CT scans. We're really able to pick up things earlier and earlier, and that's helping us really... It changes our treatment options because if we catch something earlier, we have a lot more ways that we can prevent it from getting worse. Well, or even stop it entirely.
Yeah, I have a list of about 8 inoculations that my dog needs annually. I think it's 8 or something. I get a flu shot and it's over. I mean,
yes.
It seems like the preventative side is like more toward the pets than it is for the humans.
Yeah, we've always had more vaccinations for pets.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're also, they've advanced. They're becoming a lot more specialized, a lot less reactive, just in general, much better products these days. So that's always great.
Yeah. My previous dog had a heart murmur kind of thing, and my veterinarian referred me to a heart specialist for my dog.
Absolutely,
I had never heard of that before, but I was quite delighted.
Yeah, you know, the other nice thing is there are specialists in so many areas of veterinary medicine that weren't around 10, 15 years ago, and they're becoming more common. So as general veterinarians, we're learning to be really good screeners of disease and helping pet owners get to these specialists when they need to so that they can really focus on that pet's disease condition.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how often we should be seeing the veterinarian with, you know, for our pets, but I realize we go a number of times every year anyway, so, you know, but
at least once a year, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, healthy pets once a year. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about anything, or obviously as your pets become older, you're probably going to be going more often, at least every 6 months. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's not unusual to go a couple times a year.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And also, pet insurance has kind of advanced as well. Now, I don't know, you know, who I'm dealing with, because all different kinds of insurance setups, but that's new. That's new to me as well.
It is, and it's becoming more widely utilized, and we're certainly encouraging it because it can really help pet owners plan for emergencies. So we never plan for emergencies, right? That's the nature of emergencies.
Correct.
So it's really great to have pet insurance to fall back on in those times that you just can't plan for it. And it's something you should talk to your veterinarian about early in your pet's life, so that as they get older, you have that to fall back on with anything that pops up as they age, too.
Correct. Is it the same as people insurance? Like the older a dog gets, the more the insurance would become?
No, not necessarily. Oh. Usually there's a monthly fee, and especially if you start early, it can often remain relatively stable.
Uh-huh.
And the nice thing is that then you can really account for, you know, those costs when the pet gets older. That's when all of our costs go up, both in human medicine and in veterinary medicine. We certainly see geriatric human costs go up, and we see that with pets, too, as we age, that there's just more medical concerns.
Fascinating. Where do we go for more information about all of this?
Oh, please feel free to check us out at NAVC.com. You can look for stuff and encourage your veterinarian to visit us as well.
Perfect. Hey, great speaking to you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
And best to you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Well, there you have it for today. Thank you so much for hanging on. You are really an incredible human being. That doesn't say much coming from me, because I don't know what incredible human beings are. I think I met once an incredible human being, but we didn't talk very long, and that was pretty much it. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back the next time a weekday rolls around, but until then, well, I wish you peace. Okay, it's over. It's finished. I'm done. It's over. That's it for today. Bye. Go do something. Bye now. Go away. Get away from me. Bye.